Our first reading this morning is not scripture, it's Holy Writ. It's from a book that a group of adults have been studying in the basement of this church for the past 3 weeks by a woman named Sarah Miles, and it's called Take This Bread. Sarah was, she was anti-Christian, sort of raised to be that way. But one day she walked by St. Gregory's in San Francisco. She went in, she had communion, and was forever changed by that, and began her spiritual journey anew, but also began a feeding ministry there, which continues today, where she feeds lots and lots of people around a communion table. So they use the communion table to actually serve and feed people with. So taking the spiritual and making it very practical. She's a journalist, and she's also, she says what she thinks. And this is a passage where she says what she thinks. And she writes, "Charity had always slightly creeped me out. There was nothing quite as condescending as the phrase, helping the less fortunate, rolling off the tongue of a white professional as if poverty were a matter of luck instead of the result of a political system. As a left-wing activist, I'd shared the skepticism of my comrades about the faith-based charities that provided scanty cover for a conservative agenda. And yet, I reflected in a time when the new administration was embracing what could only be called a preferential option for the rich. Any direct action that could actually help the poor seemed not superfluously charitable, but radically necessary. A food pantry might even turn out to be the kinds of hand-on political work the Nicaraguan brigades had been, a way not only to provide concrete help, but to empower poor people, giving them the opportunity for direct action. And there was that vision of a table where everyone was welcome. Our neighbors, friends, and strangers were hungry. The very least a Christian church could do, for starters, was feed them."
And now the gospel, according to Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. In this passage, we are given a vision of the future and instructions about how we are to treat one another today. Let us listen together for God's word. "Now, when the human one comes in his majesty and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me.' Then those who are righteous will reply to him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' Then the king will reply to them, 'I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me.' May God bless the reading of this, God's holy word."
Dear ones, let's pray. Christ, give us holy communion with you and with one another. And give it to us now. Amen. So this morning, for the first time in a long time, maybe longer than any of us can remember, we will be sharing communion around a new communion table. The legacy communion table, I've been mindful of a few things about that for a few years. First, it is a good table that has been deeply meaningful to many people, many saints, many of whom are now gone. It's been a wonderful, positive, healing place of connection and love for many for a long time. So I'm mindful of that. At the same time, I'm mindful that it's falling apart. And David Edson and I sort of experienced that this morning trying to get it up onto the chancel. So 3 years ago now, as we began at this church planning for sabbatical 2014, I expressed my desire to build the congregation a new communion table. Part of that was a practical desire because of the condition of the table. Part of it was a spiritual desire because I felt that the process of us designing it and building it and celebrating around it together, that would be a way for all of us to deepen our walks as followers of Jesus Christ. And it was also a personal desire because I felt that that same process would be deeply transformational for me. And so I did some research, I talked to some elders in the church, and I brought the idea of building a new communion table to the congregation. And I discovered first that there was very little information about this table. We don't know a lot of its history or exactly where it came from or how long we've been using it for, really. And I also discovered that there was support in the congregation for me building a new one. So the sabbatical planning team got together, we began work, and we invited the congregation in a variety of different ways over the last year to give us some thoughts, some ideas about the design of that, some things that they would like to see in it, and maybe perhaps something to do with its shape. So we invited those in, and we discovered a lot of things, and some of the ones that stuck out for me the most were the congregation desired a table that was welcoming, inviting, and open for all. The congregation expressed the desire to have the communion table be in the sanctuary all the time because this table now currently lives outside of our kitchenette in the back, and we bring it in once a month or so. There was a desire for the communion table to incorporate local wood if possible. And there was a desire, the word that kept coming up in a variety of different ways was lightness. So there was a desire that the table be light, I think both physically and spiritually. Physically so that we could move it, but spiritually too, so that when we came to the table, we felt not burdened, but liberated, freed, and loved. So, armed with practical and personal and spiritual desires, armed with support and ideas from the congregation, armed with time and space in the sabbatical period this past summer, and armed by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I put pen to paper and saw to wood and heart to God and created this new communion table. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the shape of it and some of the different elements of it, but before I do that, I just want to say this, that sometimes, maybe even often, our Christian faith seems cluttered, maybe complicated. You know, we've got 2,000 years of history, 2,000 years of biblical interpretation, 2,000 years of doctrine, 2,000 years of fighting and division, 2,000 years of people in different times and different places following Jesus and practicing their faith in very different ways. The river of our faith is wide and deep and rich. And sometimes I think that leaves us confused and overwhelmed perhaps and wondering what this Jesus thing is all about. And I feel that way, but I'll admit something that's hard to admit, that as someone who preaches here most Sundays, I think that maybe I'm part of the problem, that sometimes I add confusion to this Jesus thing for all of you and myself included. So somewhere along the way, in the sabbatical, maybe it was at the table saw, maybe while chiseling, maybe somewhere else, I gained some clarity about Jesus, about our church, and about my own faith journey. And my clarity was this, that as cluttered and complicated as our faith sometimes seems, underneath all of it is the starkly simple, intensely beautiful, radically radical truth that what Christ wants us to do is to feed one another spiritually, physically, and in every way possible. Sarah Miles, in her quote there, she talks about this vision she has of everyone gathering around tables just like this. Everyone looking different and being different and loving different, but everyone different but together, united in some way. And she says that the very least that a Christian church can do is feed people. Which, of course, is a very Christ-like thing to say. As Deirdre just read in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells this parable about the sheep and the goats. Right? It's hours before Jesus' death, and he uses his final hours to teach his disciples something that's essential for them and for us to know. And that what's essential for them to know and for us to know is that what God most wants from us and for us is for us to feed one another. Feed one another and live, Jesus says. Don't feed one another and die. It's a wonderfully stark parable of the sheep and the goats, but Jesus didn't just tell a nice story. You see, he goes on to demonstrate this call for us to feed and to be fed through his actions on the cross. And it was there in his death and resurrection, it's there where we see God's deepest love for us, so starkly and simply and beautifully. And it's there where Christ demonstrates for us just what it means for us to feed one another in a Christ-like way. So, with that, here's the table. And you'll notice it's not one table, but three tables. And there's a number of reasons why that is. First, the reason that it's three tables is a practical one. Because of our desire to have this table in the sanctuary all the time, the question becomes, how do we do that when we got the bell choir set up or it's configured in some way? How can we have this table in here in a way that doesn't have it in the way when we don't use it, when we're not using it or we don't need it? So this way we can disassemble it and tuck it in the various corners of the church, having its presence here, but also allowing us to do all the other things that we want to need to do around here. So there's a practical reason. There's also a theological reason, because as good Congregationalists and Methodists were Trinitarians, and so there is the table, one table in three, and three table in one. The church has long taught that God is a trinity of relationships. God, the Creator, and Christ, and the Spirit, one in three, and three in one. So my hope and prayer is that when we see this table, we don't just see wood, but that we see a statement about who God is and God's essential nature. God is a God of relationships who calls us to be in relationship too with one another and with God. There's another reason why it's three in one and one in three. It's my own editorializing statement of the church's need to be flexible, changeable, movable, adaptable over time. You know, one big heavy communion table, as useful and helpful as it can be, also is hard to move around. It's hard to lift. And I think sometimes our churches are like that. You know, we're heavy, we're rooted in place, and sometimes that's good, but sometimes that's not good. Sometimes the Spirit calls us and moves us into new places and new directions, and the needs of the people and the congregation and the community change. So my prayer is that when we see this table, and as we reconfigure it in different ways, we'll be reminded of the need for the church to both be rooted, but also to be flexible, adaptable, and changeable as the Spirit moves and as the people need. It's kind of hard to see this. There's a bulletin insert where you can see an outline of the tabletop. So I'll just try to look at this real quick. The tabletop shapes are all different between the three tables. The center table is square, and that's the God table, because God is our source and our center. It's 18 inches square, just in case you want to know. The rounded table here is the Christ table, and it's meant to recall for us Christ's open arms, welcoming us to the table and to a life of faith. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So it's an invitation, a welcome, which is something the congregation talked about wanting. The appointed table is the Spirit table, and that directs us out into the world so that we can be witnesses of the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. I won't do this now, but I'll just tell you that this table and this table, the God and or the Christ and Spirit table, were cut from one rectangular piece, and when you turn them around, they fit one into the other. So you can have in this configuration one square table and a medium-sized rectangular table. You could also have one long, thin rectangular table. You could have it shaped in this way. Do anything you want. The wood itself. The wood in the table is made, the light wood is made out of maple for a few different reasons. First of all, that theme of light kept coming up over and over again. So the light color of the maple, my hope is that when we see that, we remember that Christ's table is not meant to be a burden for us, but it's to be a place of freedom and of liberation and of lightness. It's also maple because some of us in town here maybe from time to time make sugar, right? Maple sugar, right? So maple roots us in our place, and this table is an indigenous table that comes from us and reflects not somebody else, but who we are as people here in Underhill in Jericho, Vermont. It's maple, and it's hard as nails. It chipped my planer blades all up, and so it's durable and should last for a long time. The dark wood on it is cherry wood, and the maple was purchased commercially. I'm not sure where the origin of that is, but the cherry wood, I know exactly where that came from. It came from Mr. David Edson, who is loath to be identified, and I understand that, but I think it's an important part of the story of where this came from. That cherry wood was grown on David's property, chopped down a number of years ago and cut into rough boards, and he graciously donated those for this. So it not only is a nice contrast with a lighter wood, but again, it roots us right here in our community. So it's an indigenous table that connects us to the community that we minister with and that we minister to. So there's the table and some of my thoughts about it. I want to end this morning with an invitation after the service to come up and take a closer look at it. There is a plaque on the back of the center table that was made out of the cherry wood, but it was burned with a machine laser by a guy who lives two doors down from us. Deirdre and I were talking about doing this, and we said, boy, is there anybody in Vermont that has a machine laser? And then she said, what about the guy two doors down? So anyway, Michael's great, and he was happy to work on this for us. So anyway, come up and take a look at that. And I just want to give a big thank you to this congregation for making this table possible. I want to give a big thank you to the sabbatical planning team for the ways that they connected with all of you and solicited those ideas and thoughts and helped translate those into this. I want to thank you for trusting me with this sacred table. And I want to thank God for being with us every step of the way. May this table be a place around which we gather for a long time, where we share the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ at this, the sharing table. Amen.
We thank you too.